Hello, and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. It's your boy, Landon, joined by your other boy, Lucas. What's up, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I didn't ask. I said, what's up?
Oh. you know, gaming and stuff.
Hell yeah. Yeah, just a little side note, you know, these past couple weeks has been a little choppy, a little dicey because of Lucas's busy schedule. Well, the one time he actually plays at a decent time, and this man accidentally played two sequences.
That's my bad. I saw a sequence four complete pop up, and I was like, mistakes were made, but,
He's definitely ready for next week.
I'm ready for next week.
So that's fair, so, you know, he's good. Yeah, he texted me while I was at work last night. I had a missed call because man can never seem to know when I'm working.
I literally hit the call and I looked at the time and I hung up.
Very fair. But I saw a bunch of text messages about like, where does sequence 3 end? And they're like, oh, wait, okay, so I might have actually played sequence 4.
And I was like, I definitely played sequence 4.
So, Mans is a little ahead. But, you know, we're here now, you know, sequence 3. And it's a great time. I'm super excited. I'm super happy about all this. But before we get into it, got a couple quick things. We got a bunch of Assassin's Creed Shadows news. But, real quick before we get into that, I wanted to go over the trivia from last week, which I asked you guys, what is the most expensive dye in Florence? When you go to the dye shops, what is, you know, the most expensive one, the most premium dye, essentially? And quick shout out to M. Malarkey over on YouTube, who actually gave the correct answer. As this is Florentine Crimson. So it's actually the dye that I'm currently rocking with, I'm pretty sure, because I think there was a dye shop. No, I don't think so. I was trying to remember if there was one in Tuscany. There might have been, but I don't think I visited. So I do think that is the dye that I'm currently wearing still. I don't think I've changed it. I've been doing it for the past couple sequences. But
yeah, I have the emerald dye now.
Hey, good stuff, good stuff. But, yeah, fun time. But, anywho, you know, that was our little trivia question for the week. Once again, congrats to Mr. Malarkey for getting that. Or should I say, Joe Biden? I know who you are. But anyway, getting into the Assassin's Creed Shadows news. So, if you weren't aware, a bunch of creators were allowed to preview the game, like, last week, the week before. I think it was a couple weeks ago at this point. And on the 23rd, they were then allowed to discuss the preview. And for the most part, very positive. It seems like a lot of people were saying, I watched IGN's preview, and they said that essentially this is them perfecting the RPG formula. And that, like, you know, there's a lot of great things about Origins, Odyssey, Valhalla, all that stuff, but a lot of it was kind of like testing out like the RPG and kind of finding their footing in this new genre. This seems to be a culmination of that effort and doing a good job of bringing in different aspects of their action-adventure roots and, you know, kind of optimizing this new formula that they've been cultivating for the last 10 years almost. And so, it's really exciting. There are some people that are a little less, you know, enthused about it, but the overall impressions seem generally positive. And what are your thoughts about all the new information we've gotten over the last week?
Based on some of the, like, the clips I've seen and, like, some of the stuff I've heard people say, I'm actually a little bit excited. Probably the most excited I've been for an Assassin's Creed game. Since I want to say Valhalla. No, not Valhalla. Odyssey.
Okay. And I was then, about to say, I'm like, Valhalla's not that long ago.
Odyssey. And then I didn't like Odyssey that much, so that was let down. But sure. I'm hoping that this, just based on the movement and, like, the way Nawe moves, and I was just, it felt felt right.
Yeah. I really dig the combat in that game.
Yeah.
I think it looks really sick because, again, one of my biggest concerns with Shadows is that it's going to feel too much like Ghost of Tsushima and mm-hmm. how to differentiate itself a little bit better. And, like, one of the things is, like, the combat, because how do you top, because I just, Ghost of Tsushima's combat is so good. Like, and I don't think Shadows can live up to that. I don't really have a lot of faith that they can top that. And so I think the difference is how they're going to essentially pivot on that. And I think they might have done that here with both the way that the combat animations look spectacular. There's some sick moves in Shadows. Like, they're cool. They're sick. They have a lot of flourish. And again, this is not to discredit Tsushima, but, like, again, they have some really different animation in here that I really enjoy. And I'm glad they did that. I think that helps distinguish it a little better. And then also in just, like, I think they have a lot more, like, stealth-based mechanics with Nawe than Tsushima had. Because one of the biggest, like, criticisms of Ghost of Tsushima is that a lot of the stealth elements aren't super great.
Yeah, they're pretty generic.
Yeah. And so, like, seeing Shadows really try to invest a lot into that, into those mechanics, is super great.
As it should, because it used to be the best in the biz.
Exactly. So, happy to see that, you know, again, like, there are still some people that are like, I don't know, you know, Jake Baldino from Game Ranks has said he's very similar to Lucas in that he has not been a fan of the RPG games. He is still kind of, like riding that fence there where it's like, you know, like, yes, it's cool and everything, but it's just not really the Assassin's Creed that he wants. And so, you know, that's fair and valid, and, you know, I can easily see that being the case. But I think, you know, judging it on its own merits, it seems to be shaping up to be a really, really great game. And I cannot be more excited at this point. We are just shy of 2 months away. And, yeah, it's very exciting. I'm going to be there.
I'm excited, and I'm actually going to play it. Probably when it comes out pretty early. Which I haven't touched an Assassin's Creed game, so this will be interesting.
You actually pretty consistently touch an Assassin's Creed game.
Okay. A new one. I haven't touched a new one since Odyssey.
That's fair. Like I said, I'm really excited. I know it's going to be forever, but I'm really excited for Lucas to start playing Valhalla, because I think he's really going to like it. Maybe not as an Assassin's Creed game, but as a Viking game. So good.
I do like me a good Viking
game. It's so good. It's just stupid long. It's stupid long. It's to the point where it's a negative. Because, my God, it's the same problem I have with Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, 30% of players, and I think that's generous, beat the game. Because it's so freaking long. It's but a like, masterpiece. Yeah. But it's so long.
It's one of the... It actually is the greatest game I've ever played.
That's wild. I mean, it's definitely up there, don't get me wrong. But that is a little wild.
In terms of, like, the story and just... That is, yeah. Next is God of War.
Fair. Very fair. I'm okay with both of those answers. But, yeah. Another one, Assassin's Creed 2, which is what we've been playing. And so, absolutely, absolutely phenomenal game. How are you feeling now? Sequence 3 feelings only, please.
I'm feeling like we're learning how to be a fucking assassin. This sequence.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
You know, we're getting the ropes down. We're dialing in. And, you know, the combat is a lot better than the first couple sequences, I think.
That is very true. Very true. Yeah,
it's a lot more flow and...
You're adding some depth in there because, I mean, honestly, in the first two sequences, we haven't really experienced a whole lot of combat. They've been very enclosed, you know, like orchestrated examples, like very tutorialized. And so, you know, we're starting to open up a bit more, get a bit more of a feel for the overall combat and how that functions.
They throw some enemies at you, too, in this one.
That's true.
Like a decent amount.
That's true.
And it is use of Munstels, and yeah.
That's fair, yeah. But real quick, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I did also want to mention, and I forgot because I get a little loosey-goosey with this stuff, That we finally got some more news on the Animus Hub, which was previously revealed as Assassin's Creed Infinity. So I was like, I think I've said on the podcast before that I was a little skeptical that this was still going to be a thing, because throughout the entire marketing cycle of Shadows thus far, they had never brought up Infinity, or if they did, it was always very like very small and no real updates. And so it felt like it was something that they just either didn't know what to do or wasn't sure about, or maybe it canceled. I think especially because of just the state of the live service industry right now, in that pretty much everyone flops, save for the occasional like one or two. I'm wondering if that has kind of affected Ubisoft's strategy towards it, that they didn't want to put too much into it and risk public outrage because it's just not going well for 90% of developers over the last decade. Nobody can really seem to figure out what Destiny's doing, including Destiny half the time. It's like I think it's fantastic how Bungie will have like the greatest year ever and then have the most dog shit year the year after that, consistently. It is a constant cycle of, we're so back, it's so over. We're so back, it's so over. Like, it's worse than the MCU. I mean, it's crazy how Destiny goes, but that's a whole nother tangent. But, yeah, they finally talked about Animus Hub, which there's some really interesting stuff here. It does seem to be not quite as big as they had originally envisioned. And there's a lot of, oh, we'll have more in the months and years to come type of lingo, which can, you know, at this point with how live service games go, that's never a confirmed or committed thing, because things flop, things shut down. Who knows?
That's a we'll see how this goes answer.
Exactly. But we did finally get some information and some screenshots about that, if you want to look that up as well, about just the different parts of the Animus Hub, which has four separate areas. The first one is Memories, where you can access past Assassin's Creed games that you've purchased that are, you know, before this new era of Assassin's Creed, which currently at launch are going to be Mirage, Valhalla, Odyssey, and Origins. So Origins and forward. Anything before that are not currently supported, but they have teased, quote, new features and content in the, quote, months and years to come. So, you know, we will hopefully eventually get support for all of them, but essentially the Animus Hub is going to be similar to the Call of Duty launcher that they've been doing for the past few years, where you can just access all of your games from one place. And so that's kind of the main draw to the hub.
Yeah, so if you play on Steam, you have to use Steam, then you have to launch the Ubisoft Connect, and then that will launch you into that thing.
The Animus Hub.
Animus Hub. So, you know, if you play on PC, you get three launchers now.
Or if you play on console, you get one. Because fuck you. Console's king.
PC Master Race.
Okay, enjoy your launchers.
I think they just need to get good. To start thinking about us a little more.
So, the second area is projects, where you can access in-game missions for Assassin's Creed Shadows called Anomalies. And if you complete these missions, you'll unlock exclusive rewards through the platform, including new weapons, gear, data, files, and keys. And how keys work, which cannot be bought with real-life cash, so they were pretty adamant about we're not trying to make this microtransaction heavy, which is awesome.
That's actually badass.
Are used to buy rewards through the exchange section of the Animus Hub, which is updated with daily rewards tied to Assassin's Creed Shadows. And this will also translate to codename Hex and other future Assassin's Creed installments. And so it's not going to be like just Shadows. Again, this is the platform going forward for Assassin's Creed titles. Now, the last section is the Vault, which appears to be a lore dump for the modern day storyline. Ubisoft has said this will be, quote, developed further as the hub evolves, although it doesn't mention if it will recap the very convoluted story from previous titles. And so when they first announced back then Infinity, they had talked about this being the platform for the modern day story, as they've never really known what to do with it post Assassin's Creed 3. And so, you know, it's been very convoluted. It's been very all over the place. And so rather than spending time, like, devoting resources to fleshing that out in the games themselves, They've just removed it from the games entirely. As far as we are aware, Assassin's Creed Shadows will not feature any modern-day storyline whatsoever. It'll now be just directly linked to the Animus Hub. Which I don't know how I feel about. Because it's like the thing of, oh, well, now all of your story is going to be basically, like, notes and, like, audio files and stuff like that. Which is, like, it reminds me of, like, Black Flag, where it's you're looking for that stuff. And, like, but, like, even less because you're not even, like, walking around and doing any of that stuff. So I'm just like, man, how far we have fallen on that modern day storyline. It makes me bummed out, but I'm really hoping that, like, Shadows takes off and they can really invest more time and resources into building out this Animus Hub and have some cool things there and add things to the vault, like actual missions would be really, really cool to just launch into some stuff there. Whether we'll get that, I don't know.
But I messed it up.
I hope that, you know, this isn't just essentially the swan song of the modern day storyline.
I just feel like they've had so many opportunities to get that back on track, and they've just squandered them in every chance they've had.
Yeah. Except there is something. I'll wait until after the podcast because it is some light spoilers, but there is something that I actually did not know about. I believe it happened in Valhalla, either Valhalla and or Mirage. So it's pretty recent. That for the modern day storyline, which, like, I'm not 100% okay with, but, like, it is a step in the right direction that I actually really, really, really like. But I actually did not realize that until pretty recently. I found that out and I was like, oh, what? There's pretty cool stuff, but we'll talk after. But, basically, yeah, that's a lot of different news. And again, they had said that essentially the, like, premise of the Animus Hub, again, not that it's necessarily going to be a game itself, is that the Animus is now commercially available, and so the Animus Hub is, like, you yourself stepping into the Animus, because previously, you know, Abstergo's made, like, video games based off of, like, Animus data, but they've never actually released the Animus to the public, so the Animus Hub is, like, their way of, like, doing that, and so that's kind of how they're explaining it in universe. But that is supposed to launch with Shadows, so very exciting stuff. I'm really interested to check it out and see, and I'm curious about how interesting the rewards will be, because, you know, this is essentially their way to, like, incentivize it. They added some live service-y elements to Valhalla with, like, a lot of, like, events that they would update and things like that, like limited time things for stuff. So they kind of experimented a little bit in Valhalla with live service elements. And so I'm curious about, like, how much is going to be there, whether it's going to be something, like, worth doing, because, you know, as a huge Assassin's Creed fan, I would love for there to be, like, an actually, like, well thought out, well executed system of, like, weeklies and, like, different things to, like, give me incentive to keep playing this game that I love. It's just whether it's going to be worth it. Like, I don't want to feel like I have to grind this game every day to get my worth, because then it's just going to make me feel resentful to the game, because if I'm doing the same thing over and over again. So if there's variety, if there's, like, worthwhile rewards to keep me playing, I'm so in. I'm down for that, because, like, as much as I don't want, like, an Assassin's Creed MMO or anything like that, like, having just, like, consistent little things to, like, keep me in that universe and keep me, like, having fun, 100% down for. So I'm very interested to see how this goes and what kind of stuff they've got going on. How are you thinking about the Animus Hub?
I'm annoyed there's no launcher. I do think it's cool, though, that they are, like, with the challenges, like, it's, like you said, kind of just keeping you engaged. And I also have the same concerns. Like, I don't want it to be a bunch of apple picking missions. Like, go fetch a bunch of this shit. Like, that would annoy the fuck out of me. It's like, okay, now I have now. And, like, also, how do we know how weapons, like, work? Like, in terms of, like, is it, like, the RPG kind of way where,
like, yes, the gear system is spec. So you're getting, like, upgraded gear upgraded, like, armor, things like that.
Okay, so you're not, like, you don't get, like, get this weapon and it has, like, this much damage and, like, or whatever, or...
So, they have the different weapon types, right? Like, the katana, things like that.
Yeah.
But then there are, like, upgraded gear versions of that, where they will do this much damage, this and this. It's the numbers. Okay. It's the same as Odyssey, Valhalla, all that. Like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I was just wondering, because, like, are you going to have to, like, grind to get, like... OP weapons or some bullshit, like, is that gonna be a thing?
I mean, and potentially.
I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, and again, I think it's okay as long as it's not used aggressively, and so that's it's a potential concern I have with the Animus Hub, but if executed properly,
yeah,
could, like, be really
cool. Like, if the missions are badass, then I'm fine with that.
Right. Yeah, and I'm curious how much they're going to... Because, like, the Animus Hub has its own creative directors. Like, it is its own, like, full-fledged thing. Like, they have, like, an entire team, though obviously not, like, a full-fledged team, but yeah. They do have a small team specifically working on the Animus Hub. So I'm really hoping that having the resources dedicated there will be able to kind of flesh it out a little bit better. That there's really cool... I hope those anomalies missions are, like you said, like, really fleshed out, really cool. I'm not expecting, like, these huge spectacles. No, but, again, like, something interesting to chew on. You know, like, I'm here for... Like, I feel like, you know, like, Assassin's Creed Shadows is your steak. It's your full meal. It's your, you know, multiple courses, whatever. And then the Animus Hub are your little snackies. You know, like, your chips and your cookies and, like, little things like that. That's like, I'm okay with that. Like, that seems like a cool thing to do. You've got, like, your full meal here and everything like that. And then you just get little snacks in between meals. You know what I mean? So, like, that setup can work. I'm just hoping they don't get greedy with it. They're thoughtful in what they do. I'm okay with waiting. I don't need to play the game every day. I know that's obviously what Ubisoft wants, but I'm okay with waiting. They can take their time as long as the result is good.
Yeah. I don't want to do a bunch of goddamn apple picking.
Exactly. I don't want this thing padded out. So that's kind of my biggest concern, but I think the potential is there. But yeah, really exciting stuff. But we've spent quite a while talking about not Assassin's
Too
Creed
much time.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a big news week for Assassin's Creed. So a lot of cool stuff to talk about. But let's get into it proper.
It'll be a long night.
Assassin's Creed 2. And so... we're in Toscana now. We've made it to the manor. Ezio is escorting Maria and Claudia to the Villa Auditore in Monteregioni. However, Viero de Pazzi has returned to block them.
That bitch.
And tries to kill Ezio because he's like, you know what? Yeah, fuck you. And then, you know, tries to, you know, assault them. But then Ezio's like, no, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Starts fighting some back. And then he's like, you know what? Fuck you and your family. Kill the bitches too. And so then it just turns out into a little brawl, of which, you know, it is Ezio fighting against a dozen or so men. You know, I was holding my own. I personally think I would have been fine.
Yeah, I could have taken him. Meh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, easy peasy. Who do you think you're talking to here? However, you are rescued by your uncle, Mario, where we have another iconic quote.
I forget
from
how
this
many
game.
Iconic quotes are in this game until they happen.
He goes, "Do you not recognize me? It's a me, Mario."
It's so ridiculous.
Like, so many iconic quotes in this game.
I laugh so hard.
It's not even the only iconic quote in this sequence. But yes, fantastic quote. So he rescues him, drives off Viero's men, and you're reintroduced, introduced for the first time of Mario Auditore, who is just a phenomenal character.
He's
love Mario. He's not a plumber, but he can sure get the job done because bro is a pretty good dude.
Yeah.
And so afterward, Ezio explores the Villa Auditore with Mario, where he tells Ezio he will be safe. And so this kind of sets up Monteregione as kind of a bit of a hub area for the game. This is where you always come back to. It's your, you know, home base of operations. And, you get into the specifics of that later. But, we're kind of – this is home for us.
Yeah. Has your name on it.
Yeah. And so when realizing that Giovanni never told Ezio the truth, he sends him to get some gear in town while he prepares. And this is the first time that you actually, like, officially get some, like, armor upgrades in the game. Yeah. You can't technically get it before, which, like I said, I think I might have actually gotten some boots before or something like that. So I think I actually had something. But you can get some gear for the first time, upgrade some stuff. You get a dagger, which I pretty much immediately upgraded to a knife. and then I also toyed around with... I got that, I think it was the quick sword, and was messing with that for a while. And then I believe at the end of the sequence is when I got that hammer, and I don't think I've had a chance to try it out yet. But I did have that. I was using that quick sword for a little bit. I'm working my way up to the, what is it? I think it's the Falcon. Is that one? It's just like a really strong sword, but it's like ridiculously expensive.
Oh, yeah, because it has, like, the Falcon hilt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stats are pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And so it's worth the price. But, yeah, she's a little pricey. I'm working my way. I think my next thing was that I was going to start cleaning out some armor pieces because I bought a couple armor pieces. I don't have a full set yet, and so I think that was kind of my next thing that I was working towards was getting taken care of, getting me some upgrades then. Because also every time you upgrade your armor, you get an increase to your maximum health based on the stats of the armor. And so, you know, got our health upgrade a little bit, got some gear up, you know, like fleshing ourselves out a little bit more.
Becoming that assassin you're meant to be.
Exactly. And so, you know, later... Mario teaches Ezio how to fight. And so it kind of similar to the little like start of sequence stuff from the first game where you would go down to the training grounds and it would run through stuff. Did you ever check out the other tutorials that they had?
Nope.
So something I don't know, because again, it's been so long since I've played Assassin's Creed 2 proper outside of like the first sequence or two. I forgot that there are weapon-specific moves in the game where if you're using your fists, you can throw sand in people's faces.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then there are different combo moves for different weapons.
That's kind of cool.
And so, yeah, it's really interesting. Like, again, like all the way back in 2009, like thinking of Assassin's Creed, like, you know, like the little things that they're already incorporating. It's crazy that
they already have that depth, yeah. Like,
yeah. And so, yeah, because I ran through all the different training courses. Officially, in this mission, you are taught how to evade, counter kill, and escape, which are all things pretty much. The evade is a little different because I don't think there was a dodge mechanic in the first game, was there?
There was, but I feel like you jumped forward for some reason.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You could strafe and you could dodge back and like things like that.
But this is a way better system for sure.
Yeah, 100%. The animations are a lot smoother.
Yeah, there's a bit more of a flow. Sidestepping is way easier to do. Like, I could barely sidestep in the first game. This game, I can just boop,
slice. Yeah, I think in the first game, it was sort of like when you evaded, you kind of like stepped in the world. It wasn't really reactive to the enemy AI. It was more so fixed on your location, and you would just make directional movements. Like, whereas it's a like now the evasion's a lot more tied to the enemy AI, and so instead of just going off to a specific area, it's going like to a degree off of where they're going, which it makes it a lot more responsive, and it definitely helps like smoothen it out a lot more.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, the different things there, but yeah, I also then just ended up later running through all the different like training stuff, which a lot of it was very basic stuff. You know, a lot of just really similar things, but again, like just trying to be that like completionist that I am, I was like trying to go through all the different combos and just, you know, really try to diversify, because a lot of times in games, I will kind of find something I really like and just stick with that. And so I really, in this playthrough, want to try to get a wide breadth of different uses and, you know, different ways of playing and try to get a full experience of it. So I ran through as many of those tutorials as I could. There were a few that were locked, and there's also ones that you can buy, which I thought was interesting. Like, it cost gold.
Like, you're like, hey, trainer, pay me to learn this, or I'm going to pay you to teach me this move.
Yeah. I forget what they were, like what specific ones they were. I'll have to pay attention to that this time, and maybe we talk about it next week. But yeah, there were tutorials that cost money. And I was like, interesting. But my thought was you could purchase counters. Or not counters. Well, potentially. But, like, different combo moves. And so it's, like, it's essentially, like, an upgrade system.
Okay.
And so you couldn't do those until you bought them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, just stuff that, like, when I was 13, I just didn't think about it. And I was like, ooh, fun, play game. And so now actually, like, digging into the deep systems, just a lot of really cool stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
And so... You know, this is the same year that, Arkham Asylum came out. And so kind of comparing the two, because, like, you know, they're both action adventure games. I wouldn't necessarily put them in the same category just because there is such a heavy stealth component to Assassin's Creed. Not that there isn't an Arkham Asylum. Obviously, there is stealth. But I would not consider Arkham Asylum to be a stealth game. I would just put that as a flat action adventure game. Whereas Assassin's Creed... is literally like stealth,
yeah, hide with the people, disappear.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, just comparing the two, a lot of the things that they did, which I do think like Asylum took a big leap, but like comparing the two, like Assassin's Creed 2 cooked. They're very close, but like Assassin's Creed
2. Playing this game and like me realizing how old it is, I'm like, man, they did a really good job with this game.
Yeah.
Like, it still holds up almost.
Well, it's also just, like, 2009.
That was
a hell of a year for gaming. Honestly, really that whole generation. Because you had 2007. 2007 was arguably one of, if not the biggest year in gaming history. Assassin's Creed, Bioshock, Uncharted, Halo 3. What else is there? Crysis. Mass Effect. All of those came out in 2007. Crazy year. 2009, Assassin's Creed 2, Arkham Asylum, Dragon Age Origins. What else was there? Uncharted 2. Like, just a ton of stuff. No Mass Effect, because Mass Effect 2 came out in January of 2010. But, trying to think of... what else there were? I'm sure there's stuff I'm forgetting that's, like, blatantly obvious. I don't think there was a Halo that year.
Minecraft?
Technically. I think the Java edition came out in 2009. But then it technically, like, a lot of people say it launched in 2011. 2011, okay. But I think the Java version might have launched in 2009. Like, the very, very early Bedrock, like, you know, all that.
Yeah.
But, I think that was 2009, actually. Yeah. Because some people consider it to be a 2010s game, and some people say 2000s because of the 2009.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was. Minecraft technically started in 2009. Just, like, insane year for video games. But, yeah, super sick. just to kind of see. And then, again, like, as we get into the more complex gameplay mechanics of 2, seeing the evolution from 1 and just how much on a deeper level that they really did rework and optimize the systems,
they step it up and you can really feel it.
You really can. It's just phenomenal time.
And the climbing is so much faster. Holy shit.
So much faster. There's still some physics issues.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes where, like, I'll be climbing and I'm like going up and he'd just like, there's like a thing right to the like left of him, like an inch. And I'm like, you're making me shiv over like this one spot just to go up. Like,
literally.
You couldn't reach that, you fucking asshole.
Literally. There'll be times where he will like go reach 10 feet to his left.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where it'll be like an inch over and he's like, there's
move.
Nothing.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Yeah, I can't see. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. So, you know, little things like that. But again, like for like how many games at that time where you could do something like that?
Yeah, you climb almost anything in that game.
Yeah, like it is pretty revolutionary. So I can't really fault them for having little hitches here and there. But just absolutely phenomenal. But back to the actual training aspect. Ezio does tell Mario that he plans to sail for Spain in 3 days. Because he, you know, when he first gets to the manor, he's like, oh, we just needed to get away. Like, I'm not trying to do anything. Yeah. Where Mario's like, wait, your father didn't tell you?
Yeah, he's like, you're an assassin. You gotta kill people.
Do this. And, yeah. And so, you know, he starts to say, yeah, we're assassins. We have a duty. And he's like, I'm not shit, actually. I'm just going to take my family and go. And, you know, so basically, like, Mario just kind of, like, tries to con him. He's like, oh, I'm just going to teach you things to be safe.
Yeah.
And starts teaching him. And it is basically banking.
You gotta take care of yourself on the road.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, but, you know, continues to train him and is basically just like, you know, I'm just going to make this man into an assassin without him realizing.
He's not going to know.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Ezio is basically like, nah, I'm still dipping, Mario kind of throws a little bit of a tantrum. He's like, well, fine. Fuck you, man.
He's like, I'll take care of your problems for you.
So he just basically like runs off. And so like going after him, he talks to, one of his allies who says that Mario left to deal with Vieri, who has been pestering Monteriggioni ever since Ezio got there. It's just been kind of like
just
harassing the
village. They don't like him.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Mario's went off to deal with Vieri, which pisses off Ezio because he's like, hey, that's my problem.
Yeah, let me kill that guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you go rush off to try to help out your uncle. And so before doing that, though, he does go to check in on his family to see Maria obsessing over Petruchio's feathers. And Claudia's like, yeah, that's the only thing she cares about is those stupid goddamn feathers. Like, meanwhile, I ain't doing shit, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm lonesome, and I don't know what to do. Where Ezio's basically like, calm down, sissy, it'll be okay, we'll be fine. But then it introduces the mechanic of the feathers that you collect in the game, you can deposit into the chest. To make your mother happy, essentially.
This is, like, the most grindy, probably, collection thing you're going to have to do.
Yes, this is their version of the flags. It's much better, like I said. It's only 100 versus the 420 flags that glitch and cause you to lose the trophy. I want my trophy, Ubisoft. I will never let it go. And so, anyway. This is grindy. I think, as of right now, I have 6. So, I mean, 3 sequences in, not doing super hot. But like I said, like once we hit sequence 13, that's my grind sesh. That's my clean everything up before the last one. And so, like I said, I'm trying to do as much as I can now without straying too far off the beaten path just because I want to enjoy myself. But I also don't want to spend like 10 hours looking for collectibles in 13. So that's why I've been you know, grabbing anything I can see.
Yeah, like what I do is like if I have to like cross it, like if I see it, like on my map and I look at it, it's like, okay, there's a waypoint here, it's like kind of around, I'll get these like 3 waypoints and like, oh, this mission's on my way to this waypoint or whatever. I'll do like, that's kind of how I play.
It's
like,
right.
Just like wherever I go, if there's a mission that happens between me, I'll do it.
Yeah. And I'm pretty much doing the exact same thing. So, yeah, I've just been, you know, like, if anything pops up in my vicinity while I'm doing stuff, I'd be like, oh, hey. Because, even though this isn't a role-playing game, you know, I do like, you know, role-playing in my, like, the games that I play. And so I usually will put myself into the shoes of the character that I've been, and I'll do what makes sense for them. I have a lot of fun doing that in games.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, why would Ezio go to the complete other side of the village for this one thing? You know, it would make more sense for him to just be like, hey, oh, yeah, I have to go do this mission on the way. Oh, what's this? And like, you know, kind of like going off of that. It seems like a fun, more natural way to play the game. And that's typically how I play my games. But I also found 3 different glyphs this sequence.
I found some statues, but I didn't find
any. I found the spots, obviously, in Monteriggioni where you can place the statues, but I never actually found statues.
I didn't find the spot where to place the statues. I just found the statues. But I found a Pluto statue and a Minerva statue, and I honestly, I just heard them.
Did you find them in sequence 3 or 4?
3.
Okay.
Because I was just running around, and I, like, heard the sounds, and I was like...
Yeah.
Well, I just heard the music, because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's audio cues in this game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just heard, like, animus sounds. I was like, oh, where's that? I turned on my eagle vision, and I was like, got me some statues.
Interesting. Because, yeah, that is another type of little, like, mini collectible in 2 is statues. And there's spots where you can place them in Monteriggioni. And
they seem to be Roman God themed.
Very interesting. Indeed. But anyway, yeah, I found three different glyphs. There's one in Montrojani, and I found a couple in Tuscany. And so, which is, like, I believe there's 20 total. And so I think I'm up to five now, like five or six. And so, well, I'm making pretty good progress, honestly, compared to the feathers, at least. And so I'm pretty happy with that. But, like, I've been trying to pay attention when I'm going to areas to, like, look up for the little glyph symbol that pops up when they show the little thing.
I keep forgetting to look for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I've been working towards that. Been making some headway on those little glyph puzzles. And so, trying to figure this out. So, going off to Tuscany, Ezio does help Mario and his men assassinate Vieri, invading the city and uncovering a meeting between Vieri, his father, and one of the Borgia, who was in Assassin's Creed lineage, yeah, if you watched our bonus episode from right before the season premiere.
And it's the same guy.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Alongside another Templar official. So it was like these four guys all meeting up, talking about basically, you know, like really just taking over, you know, the
New World Order, man.
Yeah. So, like, plotting and kind of just using, like, different officials for different cities or districts or things like that, and including Vieri. Like, Vieri seems like it reminded me a lot of, like Half-Blood Prince, of, like, Draco kind of doing, like, his, like, initiation. And they're very similar characters.
Yeah.
Like, Draco and Vieri.
So Vieri's a fucking bitch.
Exactly. Like Draco has his little redemption arc. Vieri doesn't. He is just a little whiny bitch. But it reminded me a lot of that, of his just kind of being, like, inducted into the organization that his father was in and whatnot, and kind of, like, continuing the family legacy type shit. But, you know, you uncover that, and basically just very violently murder Vieri. Like, no class, no grace, to the point that Mario's pissed. And he was like, you need to respect your victim. You need to, you know, treat them with respect if you're taking a life. Where he utters the classic line for the very first time, "Requiescat in pace." Which is rest in peace in Italian. He says other stuff too, but I ain't going to do all that.
You forgot that we also got throwing knives.
When did we get throwing knives? I know that we had them, but I don't remember when we got them.
Oh, we got them at the... So when...
Is that when you meet Mario?
No.
It is.
It's the beginning of the assassination on Vieri.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you, like, go to the wall, and then, like, he's like, here, you're gonna need these. And you, like, climb up the wall, and there's, like, two guards there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, use the throwing knives to take these guards out, and, like, that's when you get them.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I also, when I went up to that tower, I felt pretty badass. So I got out my swords, or my sword, I don't know why I said swords, sword, and I just, like, killed the two bodyguards he had, and then he started coming at me, and I just bust up my assassin's blade, and I ended up doing the counter kill, where you just, like, stab him in the head, and then you armbar him. I was like, yeah, fuck
that guy. And then continue to hold him and talk to him after you just put a blade through his head.
Yeah, I was like, and just armbar him to the ground. I was like, yes. Beautiful.
No, I was pretty mad because I was trying to be all stealthy and just do a little assassination, but the second I got up on that platform, he was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was really upset. Like, bro, let me be an assassin. Jesus Christ. Because I took out, like, three of the guards with throwing knives. And then, you know, snuck my way over there. I was trying because, like, in stealth games, I think Dishonored caused this for me. Where now it's like, I'm not really out to kill anybody unless there's a ton of guards. Because a lot of times, if you do just kind of go around, if you have to backtrack at all, that can make so much extra work for you because there's still all those enemies, especially if you need to make, like, a quick escape. It's really annoying. So it does kind of depend on how many guards there are. But if they're fairly well spaced out and I don't, like, they're not going to see me, I just don't even worry about it.
I'm kill a pacifist. All of them. Kill everybody. They don't deserve to live. They're basically Nazis.
Fair. But, I mean, like, because, like, for those who haven't played Dishonored, there's different endings based off of how violent you are. And so it has made me a little bit more of a pacifist in stealthier games where I'm just like, I gotta be a nice little boy. But yeah, so I try to be a little stealthy. But yeah, the stealth system is very sensitive in this game, at least thus far. I think it could be just because like some of our abilities aren't really there yet. We're still kind of getting tutorialized and a lot of it is kind of orchestrated. But yeah, at least thus far in the start, very sensitive.
I do love some of the old, like, enemy AI though. Cause like, you'll be like almost full, like you'll be like almost full of like red, and then you'll like hop into a group of people and there's like, oh, no one's here. And like walk away.
Yep.
No, oh, I won't. Like, yep, I'm gone now. I just stepped in this crowd of people.
But back at the villa, Mario actually shows Ezio about...
they have a party.
Yeah, basically, they have a little celebration. Like, I can't even read my fucking handwriting, but... but he's teaching. It's because I was trying to like write really fast, like while like take notes, all that. Yeah, so some of it's a little chicken scratchy. But he teaches Ezio about their family home and basically about that there are codex pages hidden, and basically that it leads to an underground treasure left by someone we know. Altair, who he calls a legendary assassin.
Who, you know, we were, so...
Yeah, I mean, we can verify.
Are also apparently related to.
Yes. I'm related to Altair.
Not
and Ezio Auditore da Firenze.
But, yeah.
I tried to say Altair's full name, but I don't remember it well enough. It's something like Ibn Ibad or something like that. Ibad, I don't know. I think they start mentioning it a lot more in, like, Revelations. They don't really do it too much in one outside of, like, encyclopedias. But, yeah, so, basically is like, yeah, if you can find any codex pages, have your little buddy Leonardo decode them. Because, he, like, Ezio brings up that, because there was a codex page with the hidden blade in the chest that we had raided of our father's. And so Leonardo decoded it. And so Mario's like, oh, hey, yeah, use him. Like, do all this so we can get this treasure.
Treasure.
And then they talk about next steps, which, you know, after killing Vieri and finding out about this plot, Ezio's like, okay, no, we've got to stop these guys. And so Mario does get his way in the end. Like, Ezio's like, yeah, we got to keep going.
Yeah, these guys suck.
yeah. And so they start to plot the hunt for his next target, Vieri's father, which leads into the trivia question for this week. What's that dude's name? Lucas has a little bit of an advantage because he literally played the sequence where he's mentioned a fair bit. But, but yes, what is the name of Vieri's father? That's a trivia question for this week. If you remember, let me know down in the comments below or over on our socials if you're listening. Or over on Patreon, because like I said, Patreon is our main communication hub. It was where we communicated about the delay last week. Please, if you haven't already, join that. It is completely free. There are paid options as well. But yeah, it's free 99. And speaking of the Patreon, we're actually, directly after this, going to record our first bonus episode, which is available exclusively for apprentice tier subscribers. So if you give us 5 schmackers a month, you get access to 1 bonus episode per month, which I have been thinking about. I figure, which I mean, this is a like outside podcast discussion, but I figured why not. I've been thinking about calling them bonus plus to distinguish them for our actual bonus episodes. Because again, I want to clarify that our normal bonus episodes about other like outside media from Assassin's Creed are still going to be completely free. We don't want to take away anything that this podcast normally does. We don't want to lock anything behind a paywall. So, you know, these bonus episodes that we're doing, like this next, like this week's bonus episode is actually going to be about 2025 and Assassin's Creed, like all the different Assassin's Creed things we can look forward to or potentially look forward to this year in 2025, because it is January, it's the start of the new year, and so this bonus episode is going to be going in depth about all the different Assassin's Creed projects coming this year. A lot
more broader topics that, you know, go on tangents.
Yeah, exactly. And so different things like that. So it's you know, more extended, like, bonus stuff. It's not going to be anything, like, nothing. I don't want to say nothing important, because obviously we want to come out with, like, quality content. But, like, the main, like, content of this podcast will always be free to all. Never fear about that. But like I said, you can, you know, watch this stuff a day earlier as well in that apprentice tier. Get access to it a day early, as well as then getting this bonus episode that we're about to record. So definitely check it out if you haven't already. You know, if you have no money to give, things are a little tight. One, trust me, I get it. Two, you know, it's okay. Like I said, still go check it out, because it is free to become a member and then get communications with, you know, updates for the podcast, different stuff like that. We, you know, talk about different news, things like that. So it's a really good communication hub for you guys to check out at patreon.com/resyncpodcast. So, you know. But with that, again, you got any general thoughts about this sequence? You know, we're now almost a quarter of the way through the game. How you feeling?
Feeling like this is a really good game still.
Yep.
And, like, the pacing is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you start off as, like, literally almost like this, like, dumb kid. And, like, that you not at this point, you're like, all right, I'm about to be an assassin because we got to kill some fucking dumbasses. Mm-hmm. And you're locking in.
Yeah. Which, again, like, going, like, looking at the time period and kind of where we're at here, 2009, you know, like, complex stories in video games, while they have existed, you know, they're very sparse. And this generation as a whole was when, like, developers were really starting to invest a lot more in their storytelling. But Assassin's Creed 2 is such a great example of complex, layered storytelling going through, especially compared to the first game. Like we've talked about in previous episodes about how, you know, while I do enjoy the story of the first game, it is a little basic. There's not a ton of depth and complexity to it. They'll have twists and turns, but it's all, like, fairly standard. Whereas 2 has so much more depth and so way more depth. They flip a lot of stuff on their heads. You know, they innovate, they succeed, they just, there's so much to love about this game.
They set stuff up, there's a ton of foreshadowing. The characters that they introduce, like, they come back around. Mm-hmm. Like, from the first sequence, like, you're going to come into a lot of those characters again.
Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job of, like, keeping the spirit of the first game alive.
Yes.
Like, they do nothing to negate the first game, which is good because, you know, while people had issues with the first game, it wasn't a perfect game, you know, it was still a well-received game. And so rather than trying to excise it, they do a really good job of, you know, creating something that is, in all means, like, far superior. It doesn't discount the first game. And continues to kind of uplift it in a way by, you know, including, like, Altair, like, having him be involved with the Auditores. And in the modern-day storyline, continuing that going, you know, they keep the first game relevant. They don't try to erase it, which I very much appreciate. You know, something that they don't always do, continuing in the franchise. No. So, you know, Assassin's Creed 2 is just such a legendary sequel. That is just a spectacular game in its own right, but especially put up against the first game, just does it's such a great continuation.
It's one of the few games that I would consider is, like, the sequel is better than the first game.
Yes, absolutely, no question. But yeah, having a ton of fun. It's super exciting. I'm super, super happy. Just, you know, with playing 2 again, and after a long time, because, like I said, I've played Assassin's Creed 1 a decent amount, which is kind of crazy, because, like I said, Assassin's Creed 2 is my favorite. You'd think it'd be the one I played the most, But no.
No, it's because you want to restart the series and you just keep playing the first game over and over again.
Exactly. It's because I have commitment issues, okay? I mean, we've been doing this for like 9 months now and you see how far we've gotten. Yeah. You know, it's hard for...
Yeah, we have a podcast. We actually have a deadline to meet and we're still not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But... this has been Resync. We've actually almost hit an hour. This is a long episode.
Yeah. Might be our longest.
Well, I remember when we started this thing, we're like, yeah, hour-long episodes. We're really bad at keeping to that, but we did a good job this time. A lot of good stuff to talk about, but appreciate everyone who watched, listened, however you consume our content.
Yes.
Like I said, head on over to the Patreon if you will. There's some cool stuff. We're going to have a bonus episode available this week as well. Super exciting. And so... I will let you guys know next week all about sequence 4. Lucas is ready to go.
I can't wait to talk about next week. I already know what happened.
And so I'm very excited. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
Remember, nothing is true. Everything is permitted. Ta-ta.